I feel like I'm fixing to die. It's the Medicare for the Lazy Man podcast. A Medicare podcast that stands head and shoulders above all other Medicare podcasts. Speaking of quitters, he quit smoking in 2015, Medicare expert Doug Jones.
Well, good day, ladies and germs. It's a pleasure to have you with me at the Medicare for the Lazy Man podcast. I am so happy you joined us, and I am so happy to hear from Drew McMillan. His announcing skills just get better and better all the time. As he probably told you, I am Doug Jones. I am your Medicare expert, just for the time being. Last time I, braggadociously announced that it was going to be for the whole month of October, but that's 31 days. I didn't look at the calendar. That's 31 days. I can't promise anything for 31 days. So what I'm going to do is take it day by day, and hopefully you will be with us for every new episode, which is about three a week. And then I'm going to also tell you that we are podcasting specifically to people who are approaching Medicare for the first time. We want to make that introduction to Medicare, that fateful handshake, as calm, cool, collected, and beneficial and painless as possible. It's the kind of thing that people get all worked up about, and they don't really understand all the nuances of Medicare. Well, no one human brain is big enough to understand everything about Medicare, but what I've tried to do is distill it down to the important points, and I've tried to put them to make them available so that people don't have to be afraid of Medicare. They can read my short book, listen to the podcast, absorb some of our Medicare information, and feel confident going forward that they have enough knowledge to make the right decisions without screwing anything up. And of course, we're always here to help them if they want to contact us. They can write dbj@mlmmailbag.com. and ask for assistance or ask for clarification on things. And then what I do is I ask Randy to forward those letters to me, and I put them in a big bag. And then every so often we have an episode where we pull out the bag, place it next to my desk, and I read some letters from listeners or readers. Now, the Randy I referred to is Randy Carson, the man who makes all of this possible. We've built an empire here, and it's all thanks to Randy. So, hello, Randy. Thank you for building my empire for me.
Well, you're absolutely welcome. I don't believe it for a second, because without you, we'd have nothing. But thank you anyway.
Well,
we are going to have, from what I can tell, a very exciting episode today. We're going to have a mailbag marathon. Is that true?
That's kind of what it looks like. I had some other things that I could have jaw-jacked about, but I thought, something? The mailbag is the most popular segment we have, and therefore I'm going to set aside all of the desk cleaning results that I had. I'm moving, ladies and gentlemen, someday, I hope. And so I'm getting prepared by divesting myself of a lot of the possessions, which would include Medicare-related stuff. And I think we should just concentrate on the mailbag today. So let's do that.
I think that's a great idea, Doug, because for every one person that has a question that they submit to you through the MLM mailbag, very likely there's 150 others that have the same question. So I think this is a great way to get the information out in a very clear and concise fashion.
Okay, well, it's a public service then. I never thought of myself as a public servant, but I am a servant of the people. So when the people write, I respond. So let's go with item number one. This is written to me back in May, at the end of May. We're a little behind with the mailbag. Doug, this person writes, I have read your book and found it very informative. Now, some of you people may be thinking that I only read letters that start out with a compliment about my book. That's not true. It may be that the only people that write are people who enjoyed the book. That's possible. But I don't weed them out, and I don't put in extra stuff. So this gentleman says, I read your book and found it very informative. And I want to say, well, thank you, sir. However, when I retired, I moved to Wisconsin without realizing it is special. And he, you know, uses quotes, it's special with respect to Medicare. Now, a lot of times special means retarded on the playground. But in this case, it is an insurance term almost. Wisconsin is one of three states that has a different approach to Medicare supplements. So anyway, he goes on to say, do you have any information specific to Wisconsin that would help guide me through the Medicare sign-up process? My birthday is in November, and I'm already getting mail regarding the upcoming sign-up period. Interestingly, much of it provides little to no information about the sender, but asks me to sign up to receive interesting and useful information. But I figure they all have an agenda. Now, he's right on the money there. Any help you can provide would be appreciated. And then he signed his name. So here's my response. Let's see if I responded skillfully to somebody living in that wasteland of Wisconsin. I said, thank you for writing, Mr. So-and-so. Congratulations for thinking ahead about your Medicare coverages. Assuming you're referring to your 65th birthday this coming November, and assuming it's not November 1st, as was my grandmother, daughter, and grandson, all three of those people born on November 1st, plus the neighbor across the street in Arizona, that's four people.
Must have been a popular day.
I know. Well, actually, 9 months earlier, a lot of people.
I was
going to
say, what is not risky? So really, it was a very popular day.
Yeah, it was the middle of winter. That explains it.
Yeah. So really, all you have to do is you take November and you add three, which would be December, January, February. So February 1st, leading on into Valentine's, something was going on.
Full moon, maybe. So anyway, that's a lot of people born on November 1st, but there's a special rule that applies to people who have their 65th or any of their birthdays on the first of any given month. And I address that in the book, but since it's a small percentage of people, like 1/30th of the population, I'm not going to waste a lot of time here talking about it. But I said, with my response to this gentleman, I said, if you're not talking about November 1st, you will be able to begin your Medicare Part B enrollment anytime starting in August. That's because the government says anytime 3 months before the month in which your 65th birthday occurs, you can start your enrollment process. So this gentleman can start in his enrollment in Medicare in August. So then I said, first, throw away the direct mail you receive without bothering to read it unless you have a bunch of free time. Next, I would go to, and I gave him a website. And I said, I would go to this website to begin the process of enrolling in Medicare Parts A and B. It's the Medicare.gov website. And you want November 1st as your preferred start date, since your 65th birthday occurs in November, unless you will have other health insurance in place at that time. And that would be like job related. If he's not going to retire and his company provides good medical insurance that's reasonably priced, he might not want to sign up for Medicare Part B at the time that his 65th birthday occurs. So then I said, you can also use the steps I list in Chapter 9 to select the least expensive drug plan available in your particular zip code. When your best selection becomes obvious, click the button to enroll directly with the company from that site. Finally, I would locate a professional, this is another killer. Randy and I hate it when this happens, but we had to turn people away because we weren't ready to help people buy their Medicare supplement plan. So I said, finally, I would locate a professional insurance broker who has a history of success in your local area. You will want to have him or her arrange for a Medicare supplement plan from a company he likes and trusts. I'm no expert on the plans available in Wisconsin, but I do mention that $2,000 deductible plan as a potential money saver for those who don't mind a little cost sharing in exchange for a lower monthly premium. You may have to stand firm. Wisconsin people are used to rich, expensive insurance plans and this broker may not feel comfortable with your request to examine a plan with a big deductible. Other questions may arise. If so, please be sure to write again. Good luck. And then I drag out that club. This is what I love to do, is smack people. I said, P.S., since my book was helpful to you, would you take a moment to go back to the site where you got it and leave a short customer review? Future readers will appreciate hearing your opinions. Thanks. So I'm hoping that was enough information for him to start the process of getting a Medicare supplement. But it was only later that I realized, okay, first of all, I should help people who write in like that and say, what do I do? By being prepared. So I am now licensed in every state in the union. And when you call or write, in this case, and tell me that you are flummoxed by the Medicare process and you want some assistance, we are in a position to assist you. So I'm pretty happy about that. And it doesn't matter where you are in the United States. If you request, I shall respond. And then we will enjoy the success that comes with getting your Medicare problems taken care of so that you never, ever have to think about them again. At least your Medicare supplement, your medical insurance. You might want to think about your drug plan every couple of years, because those are like Medicare Advantage plans. They can change them on you every year, and you wouldn't know about it until you all of a sudden found that your new plan didn't work, or your old plan didn't work as well, and you had to go looking for a new one. But basically speaking, when you get your Medicare supplement in place, you'll probably never, ever have to think about it again the rest of your life. So here's another item. Different person wrote in, and this person said, I've been a type 1 diabetic for 60 years. I'm in good shape, and my A1C has been excellent for 30 years. I use a lot of insulin pump gear supplies, which aren't listed in the drug plan. Should I get an Advantage plan? And my response was, let me ask you this. One, what is there about an Advantage plan with all of its built-in cost-sharing elements that would work better for you than a supplement that pays everything that Medicare allows? Two, then I would ask, if you agree about point one but don't want to pay the premium, how about assuming a measured amount of cost sharing with an out-of-pocket limit very much smaller than most Advantage plans in exchange for a much smaller monthly premium? And number three, finally, I would ask whether you think it might be advantageous to have a very comprehensive supplement plan at some point in the future when your physical condition might not be as good as it is now. If your answer is yes, which I think is reasonable, please understand that if you don't buy the Medicare supplement plan of your choice now, you may not be healthy enough to qualify for it in the future when you might really need it. I hope this helps clarify your thinking. Please write again if you wish to discuss this further. So, this person did write again. He said, besides your great sense of humor and irony, you're amazing for even responding, much less making all those points. Honestly, I wasn't thinking about the supplement part. Sheesh, and I read your book. I got hung up on the stuff the drug plans don't cover, and remember what you said in your illustration about the lady who was satisfied to never have to worry about stuff because it was all taken care of. Slap forgot about the supplement, even though I knew it was the next thing on my list to take care of. Yes. I'm back in the saddle. Thanks for your patience and caring about the folks that you, like you do. Still reeling from losing my job at age 65 when I was planning to retire at 68. I got dropped into this before I was ready, and I'm pretty scrambled. Also need to get insurance for my wife. Ha! Good thing I believe in God. I'm an audio engineer and plan to get set up to work from home. If I can get some freelance gigs, then I hope to get a job at Publix or something like that, which would provide insurance if I can work enough hours. I imagine a lot of folks on Medicare have jobs that also provide insurance, and that can all be sorted out, right? Oh, sorry, that was another question. So then I responded again. Getting a job with insurance is a worthy goal, but the employer will ask you to contribute part of that cost from your paycheck. And that contribution just might be more than the monthly cost of Medicare Part B, $144.60 this year, plus your supplement, plus your Part D drug plan. Anyway, lots of people over 65 have jobs with insurance, so it's a very solvable problem if it should come to that. Good luck with the broadcast engineering. If Randy ever bites the dust, I will need a new partner on our Medicare for the Lazy Man episode.
Well, from one audio engineer to another, good luck. I wish you the best.
Oh, yeah.
You know, later on in your career, but just trust me. Keep putting one foot in front of the other, and it all works out. As what I used to say, or actually it's my wife more than me, but when one door shuts, three more open.
Oh, boy. There was a story I read, a short story about the lady or the tiger, and doors opening in, you know, somebody trapped in a, like a gladiator, you know, like in an old ancient Roman Colosseum.
Arena. Colosseum, arena. There you go.
And they had to choose which door, and behind one was a beautiful lady, behind one was a hungry tiger. That was the way the story ended. Which did he choose? So that's the description of what the thought comes to my mind when you say three doors open. Anyway, here's the way I wound up my response to this gentleman. I had to do it. I just had to do it to him. I said, by the way, did I ever ask you to leave a customer review of the book on the site where you bought it? If not, I'm correcting that oversight right now. And I said, thanks again for writing. You know, you'd think I would turn the goddamn phone off before we start podcasting. But no, not me.
Well, those are only the important calls that get through, right?
We'd like to think so, wouldn't we? But they, since those telemarketing companies have learned to manipulate the caller ID, it looks like my next door neighbor. So, you know,
yes,
I always have
to
answer.
I know. I got it. Well, that's one of my amusing things I do is I spend most of my life trying to outfox the telemarketers on all the various filters and cell phone stuff I've got.
And how's that working out for you?
Well, reasonably well. I've got a new product that I got from T-Mobile, give them a little plug, that does pretty good at filtering out the crap.
Wow. Well, maybe that's a little knowledge we can give to people because I would like to solve that problem. I wind up talking to recordings that are so artfully done that they fool me into thinking it's a live person. And the recording pauses after asking me a question. And then if it hears my voice responding, it sends me off to one of their telemarketers. I don't like that. So I just sit there silently and it goes, I don't think I heard you. Anyway, so I'm still talking to my correspondent here because he wrote back to me and said, surely there's a way to sort out the insurance thing if I find a job and insurance is an option. I need to get it for my wife in any case. She was on my work policy, which ends July 31st. I engineered, edited, and produced radio programs, promos, and mixed music. I can help people say what they meant to say. I have done voice work, but usually as a character voice. Very fun. I can edit a transcript as well as making the technical edits. If Randy looks a bit queasy or starts going deaf, give me a yell. I need to hear your podcast. I will try to leave a customer review tomorrow. Glad to do it. I've already recommended it to a number of folks. Thanks again for answering. So then I responded, thanks in advance for the review. There are some variables to consider if you do get hired on someplace. Having dependent coverage will solve the problem of your wife's insurance for you nicely. A company with 20-plus employees will have different rules than a smaller firm, and I will be happy to advise you when the time comes. On the other hand, your best source of advice might just be your new employer's HR people. Look for Medicare for the Lazy Man podcast wherever free podcasts are given, or wherever fine podcasts are given away free of charge. So that was our back and forth exchange in May and June. And then he wrote again, let's see. He said, I click on my state, Georgia, and nothing happens. Are the green states the only ones you have plans for? Is there a plan for this particular zip code? And I did say, that mechanism for purchasing Medicare supplement. Oh, that mechanism is for purchasing Medicare supplement, and yes, only the green states are ready to go right now. Yeah, that's all out of date. Randy and I have the whole country basically green. There are some states that aren't specifically green, but I'm prepared to help anybody who needs help getting Medicare coverage in any state of the union. So that was a lengthy correspondence with back and forth, but it was a happy ending, I'd like to think. So have we...
I enjoyed that. I really enjoyed that interchange.
He's a fun
guy.
That's
a real person with a real problem and a real Doug Jones helping him out.
And he didn't write back, so I'm guessing that he found a solution or the problem ceased to exist for him, I hope anyway. I should probably write him and ask how things are going for him. It's been a few months now.
So yeah,
I'll put that on my list of things to do.
Well, the steam has run out, Doug.
That's what I kind of figured. I can tell when I've been talking long enough and it's time to shut up. So I'm shutting up now.
I'm going to take over for the rest of the landing of the plane. We're coming into the airport. I think let's come into, where should we come into today?
Well,
Idlewild.
When computers, personal computers were brand new, a friend of mine got one with a flight simulator on it. And it would always take off from Meigs Field in Chicago. And you could fly anywhere in the world. It's pretty primitive. And so what I would do, and this was an endless source of amusement for me, I would take off from Meigs Field and fly it right smack into the John Hancock Building. I never started doing that.
that was one of your favorite things to do, right?
It was very tension releasing. I'm thinking, Randy, let's put the plane down a little too hard today and see what happens.
Okay. Well, we're gonna land at that same field, except for we're not gonna hit the Hancock Building. Okay. We're gonna have a few bounces. You know, maybe just a few bounces. Let's save the Hancock Building for next time.
All right.
So anyway, all of you in the audience, thank you so much for joining us. Thank you so much for listening to our podcast. We wouldn't have nearly as much fun if you weren't here. But in the meantime, you know, we need to bring the plane in for a landing. So put your tray tables up. Stow your carry-on up in the upper hand bins or underneath the seat in front of you. And
should we extinguish our smoking materials?
Used to be extinguish your smoking materials and, you know, make sure your seat belt is fastened. You know, the smoking materials, that's all a thing of the past. Now they've welded the ashtray shut in most arms.
Mm. Boy.
So it's no fun. Yeah. And, you know, if you're overweight just a little bit, you can't slide in between one seat and another because they have actually squinched down. Oh, here, this is one fun fact in terms of the size of the seats. Now, I'm going to try to put this politically correct and, you know, very easy.
If you fail, I'm not going to be critical.
So did you know, here's your fun fact about airline seats. They are using the same measurement in terms of the width of people's behinds or bums, whatever you want to call it, that they measured back in the 60s. Okay, so we all know that measurement is no longer working for us.
Well, that's just kind of a sad state of affairs, isn't it?
That's right.
I will say that my observation has not been so much the bums in the seats, but the flight attendants that we used to lovingly call stewardesses. Back when I started flying a lot, they were young and beautiful girls and, you know, had some nursing training, and they were able to take over in case of an emergency and direct passengers to the exits and all that stuff. Well, all of those women are still there and they're not happy about it. They're unpleasant. They're sorry. You know, they would rather have left their jobs long ago for the most part, and they're just not happy about it.
They can throw a bag of peanuts about 30 yards and hit you in the head if you ask for something.
That's because they have those big meaty arms to throw them with.
So anyhow, we're coming in for a landing. That last bump you heard was no doubt the landing gear coming down. Nothing to be afraid of. You know, we'll be on the ground shortly. Might be a little bumpy because we're into a headwind of about, you know, let's say 83 miles an hour. So, you know, bend over.
Bend over and kiss what goodbye.
Bend over and grab your knees because it's going to be a good one. But in the meantime, thanks for joining us. You have just spent about 32 and a half minutes with Doug Jones, the anti-insurance insurance guy and the Oklahoma kid and sole proprietor of MedicareForTheLazyMan.com.